Loving brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes in movies or animated films, people's bodies and spirits change with each other. Let's say there are two persons called John and Sally, and John's spirit goes into Sally's body, and Sally's spirit goes into John's body. Of course, it is not possible in reality, but if that happens, who is real John? When other people see Sally's body where John's spirit went in, they call it Sally. But she says with a distressed voice, "I'm not Sally, I am John. I have the body of Sally, but I am actually John." Also, we can see that when one dies, the spirit that is identical to the person's body comes out from the body and gets surprised looking at his body lying down. These scenes are made by the imagination of people, but they can be made because even the worldly people acknowledge the existence of spirit, soul, and body to some extent. When people of the world die, their spirit comes out from the body, and they see their own body lying down or maybe sitting. Then they get surprised, thinking, "Why am I there?" But you wouldn't be surprised. You already learned these things, and you know that your spirit has already left your body, and the body you are seeing is just a corpse. They vaguely acknowledge that we do not only have visible body, but also invisible spirit and soul in our body. And the spirit and soul can exist even without the body. But even though they accept this fact, they do not clearly understand what body, spirit, and soul are, or how their spirit, soul, and body were made. Especially, there is hardly anybody who distinguishes the difference between the spirit and soul. They just think spirit and soul are the same or similar things. In my seminary, students asked the professors how spirit and soul were different from each other. Also, nobody who could answer that question. Some said spirit is spirit and soul is soul, and they are the same thing. Most of them said they were the same thing, and some others said they didn't know. I have never seen anybody answering this question. However, spirit and soul are completely different things, and they have different meaning. Nevertheless, because there isn't anybody who can explain about this clearly, people live without even knowing about themselves. You should learn and understand how you were born and how you were made and what yourself is through this spirit, soul, and body lecture. You made your own self, and you should understand how you made it through the message. This message of spirit, soul, and body clearly explains about the spirit, soul, and body of human beings, and through this, we can understand about ourselves. From today, we are getting into the aspect of spirit. But this is not repetition. On the basis of what we learned in the first part of spirit, soul, and body lectures, we deal with it in more depth. The lectures on spirit, soul, and body are divided into three parts. And in each part, flesh, soul, and spirit are more emphasized. I explain in this way because it is difficult to understand all of them at once. You can learn the things of the first grader in the first grade and the things of the second grader in second grade. You won't be able to understand if you learn things of the sixth grader being in first grade. It's the same. I pray in the name of the Lord that through this message, you will clearly understand about your spirit, soul, and body and come out as a complete man of spirit. Loving brothers and sisters, members of branch churches and local sanctuaries, all believers in the world who are attending this service through internet and GCN viewers, people call themselves the Lord of all creatures, making a distinction from animals. They don't know about spirit, soul, and soul, but they still say they are the Lord of all creatures. There are other animals that are faster and stronger than human beings. But human beings are more valuable and noble because they alone have spirit. Both animals and human beings have body and soul. Though not as complicated as human beings, animals do have operations of soul and can remember, think, and express their feelings. But spirit is not given to animals, but only to human beings. The spirit is the core and the most important part of the spirit, soul, and body. I already explained to you about the basic things of spirit in the first part of spirit, soul, and body. We learned about spirit, spiritual body, and contents stored in spirit, namely the knowledge of spirit. Now, in the second part of the spirit, soul, and body, we will get into the deeper part of spirit. Before going into that, I'd like to briefly review the things we learned in the first spirit, soul, and body. First of all, what is spirit? Spirit is something that does not die or change, but is eternal and never changing, which is life and truth itself. Our God is spirit. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God formed the shape of Adam from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life to make him live. The breath of life refers to the concentrated crystal of all God's power, which became the source of energy for Adam to live. We can see those who give their testimonies. Even though they are new believers, even though they don't know God, they testify to their healings. They say, lights came to them and went into the sick part, or some heat or cool wind came to them and they were healed. Still, others say some fragrance came to them and they were healed. Some people, even though they are new believers, see the lights and things like that with their spiritual eyes. God opens their spiritual eyes momentarily to let them see. These spiritual lights can recover your bad eyesight and can even open the blind eyes. They can also open the ears of the deaf or revive the dead nerves to let you move on. The breath of life refers to the concentrated crystal of all God's power, which is the source of energy for us to live and move. So, it can even revive the dead or those who are dying. Adam became a spirit because God gave a portion of his spiritual nature to Adam by breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. That is why Adam was a living spirit. But this living spirit is different from the spirit of God. God is just a spirit. He's not a living spirit. But Adam was a living spirit. What is the difference? Spirit is spirit, but a living spirit may also die. Because it is living spirit, on the other hand, it may also die. So please do not think this spirit is same as the spirit of God. By the way, the reason why God made Adam's body from the dust of the ground is because the characteristics of soil. The soil itself does not have life, but is a material that brings up life. When we sow a seed in soil, the life in the seed comes out, so it sprouts and bears fruits. When we sow a seed in soil, the life in the seed comes out, so it sprouts and bears fruits. In the same sense, God made man from soil and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life as if God were sowing a seed. Then the man became a living being. There needed to be the field from which God could gain the fruit by breathing in the breath of life, namely by sowing the seed, and the field is the material called soil. When God showed me a vision, the soil from which the man was made was not dry dust, but clay mixed with water. Even this has a spiritual meaning. Spiritually, water, which stands for God's word, and soil was mixed to make Adam's body. And when the breath of life was put in there, Adam's body changed into bones and flesh, and the blood began to circulate. Brothers and sisters, when God breathed into Adam's body the breath of life, Adam's spirit remembered the shape of his body and formed the spiritual body. Just as Adam's body had the shape of Adam, his spirit also had the same shape of Adam. Spiritual body is the shape of the spirit and the vessel to contain the spirit. Even physical bodies have different shapes from one another. Here, these bodies are not spiritual bodies. They are literally physical body with bones and flesh. There is also physical body with a distinctive shape. Lions have the shape of lion's body, and eagles have the shape of eagle's body, so that we can distinguish between lions and eagles. In the same way, even spiritual beings such as angels and heavenly army have their own spiritual body. Because they have different spiritual bodies, they are distinguished from each other. You see spiritual things with spiritual eyes, but if they do not have spiritual bodies, how can you distinguish who is angel and who is a heavenly host and a baby angel or a warrior, a male angel or a female angel or an archangel? You see, archangels have different clothes, so you can recognize them. Although we cannot see spiritual bodies with our physical eyes, we can see them with spiritual eyes and can distinguish between spirits by the difference in the spiritual bodies. What then was contained in the spiritual body of Adam? The contents of in the spirit can be referred to as knowledge of spirit. In the gift chapter of 1 Corinthians, there is the gift of knowledge. This knowledge is the knowledge of spirit. When Adam was first created, he was like a blank sheet of paper without any knowledge of spirit. It was just as a newborn baby who has a shape of a human being, but has no knowledge that enables him to live in this world as a human being. The baby begins to learn many kinds of knowledge from other people, in schools, and in the society to live like a true human being. Suppose you confine a newborn baby in a dark room and only feed him for maybe 10, 15, or 20 years. If you let him out after that, and if his mother appears before him, will he be able to recognize his mother? Will he call her mom? He won't feel anything because he has no thoughts. He cannot even distinguish between big and small. He wouldn't even know whether something is big or small or round. He just has some feelings he wants to express. This is bigger than me, but he doesn't have the words. So he may just feel some fear without being able to say anything. In the same way, after Adam was created, he gained a lot of knowledge of spirit from God for a long period of time. He learned about God's heart, truth, spirit, goodness, and about all creatures that God made. Adam received these kinds of knowledge of spirit and put it in his soul. He received it with heart and stored it in his brain. Before I explain to you that souls of animals get distinguished after their death, but souls of human beings do not. It is because the soul of human beings is connected with the spirit and has its operations. Therefore, even when the memory device in the brain disappears after one's death, the knowledge, thoughts, and feelings in it still remain in the spiritual body. This combination of spirit and soul is called spirit with soul. But we usually just call it spirit. At the time, in the heart of Adam, his spirit was the master, and the soul and body obeyed what the spirit desired. But it is not the same with today's people. They want something very much in their heart but cannot accomplish it. For example, if though they make up their mind to wake up early next morning, they cannot do it in reality. They might not be able to wake up due to tiredness, or even though they wake up, they go back to sleep because their bodies obey the operations of soul, such as, I don't want to get out of comfortable bed, or I will sleep just a little more. Well, nowadays the rooms are warm, but in 60s or 50s, they heated the room with some straws in the evening. But by next early morning, it would cool down. Also, the air in the room so cold, so the water would freeze in the room. So in the morning, when they woke up, it was so cold outside. And at least inside the blanket, there was some heat. So we didn't want to get up. If 3, 4, 5, or 6-year-old children feel like they don't want to wake up and fall asleep again, they may wet the blanket. Their body obeys their soul and goes back to sleep. Even though they want it in their heart, their bodies and souls do not obey. If you can do anything as you make up your mind, what can you not do? All answers are in the Word of God. If you just obey, all of you will be rich and have revivals. But you don't obey. You want to obey in your heart, but you don't obey. You know how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So if you just follow the way, then you will hear the Holy Spirit's voice clearly. You know you should pray, and you can just pray, but you cannot. Especially women members, you don't even have to be on a diet. If you can do as you want, you don't need to be on a diet. You may take some bad medicine for diet and have side effects. You may have to go to the sauna, sweat, and then cool down and again, and so on. Your heart wants, but your body and soul do not follow. That is the problem. Also, people make up their minds not to spread certain news to anybody, but they just tell it to somebody unknowingly. Why? Their lips cannot bear it. They want to talk about others so much. They cannot stop themselves from spreading what they heard and saw. As for me, I don't want to see or hear anything bad about others. And I don't know why they try to see and hear those things. And they cannot help spreading those things. Then later, they regret saying, "Why did I do that?" It is also because their bodies and souls do not obey, even though their hearts want something. Because of spreading those things, later it becomes quarrels and strife, causing enmity. It's also because the body and soul do not obey as the heart wants. But it was not the case with Adam when he was a living spirit. Whatever his spirit wished, his soul and body obeyed and acted everything without any difficulty. However, after he had committed a sin of disobedience before God by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the situation changed. As God said, "You will surely die," his spirit died, and his soul became the master and began to control him. But spirit is eternal and never changing. So, dying of Adam's spirit does not mean that it was extinguished. It means the communication with God was disconnected, and all its activities stopped like it was dead. Since the communication with God was disconnected, Satan began to infuse knowledge of untruth through the soul of man. Then the contents of spirit that was supplied by God began to disappear. In the meantime, the contents of flesh, which is the knowledge of untruth supplied by Satan, began to fill up that empty area. For example, God planted in us things like serve others, be humble, be truthful, rejoice with the truth, and so on. Whereas Satan plants in us things like be arrogant, get angry, seek your own, tell a lie, be jealous, and so on. These are the opposite things of the knowledge of life given by God. It is the enemy devil who opposes God in this way. As time goes, the contents of spirit planted by God disappear gradually, whereas the contents of flesh, which is untruth given by Satan, increase. As the truth in heart disappears and untruth increases in this way, the spirit begins to lose its strength. And finally, it cannot function at all. When a spider catches a prey, it wraps the prey around with its web very tightly. If you commit the works of the flesh and commit many sins, the enemy devil will chain you. If you commit a lot of sins, it chains you around your neck or hands and feet. These people cannot even pray as they want, live in the light even if they want to, or cut off worldly things. They think they shouldn't do that, but cannot throw those things away. If they commit a sin once, they will be bound slightly. But if they willfully keep on sinning, they will be bound very tightly with the chains of Satan. They will finally fall into death. When a spider catches a prey, it wraps the prey around with its web very tightly. Like the spider web, the untruth and contents of flesh wrap up the spirit, disabling it from functioning at all. Then the spirit stops all its functions completely, like they said, and only the life itself, which was given by God originally, remain. For example, when a person's brain is damaged by an accident and he becomes a human vegetable with dead brain, he can still live for some time, but he cannot continue his life as a human being. Although his life still remains, it is no different from being dead. So, in some countries, if one's brain is dead, although the heart is beating, he is declared dead by law. In the same way, although the original spirit did not disappear, we say the spirit is dead when the knowledge and functions of spirit disappear. Now, as Adam's spirit was dead, he became a man of soul controlled by soul, because he began to accept untruth and perishable flesh through his soul. He eventually became a man of flesh. Since Adam, people give birth to flesh more and more as time goes by. When his spirit died, it didn't die in a day or in a couple of months. It died gradually. God planted the knowledge of life, but since the communication with God was disconnected and communication with the enemy devil began, devil planted the opposite things of the knowledge of life, the word of life. To the extent that the knowledge of untruth was planted, the knowledge of truth went out gradually from heart. This is not done quickly. Spirit became weaker and weaker and died gradually for a long time. Today's passage says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. We cannot give birth to spirit with flesh. The worldly people learn the ethics, morality, and law, but it does not mean they gain more goodness in their heart. When children grow up and become adults, they become more and more evil. As time passes, evil upon evil is added in this world, and more sins prevail. Flesh can give birth only to flesh. And if we stay in flesh, we cannot be saved. People of soul who changed into flesh continue to be under the control of Satan, keep on committing sins, and finally go to hell. In order for us not to go to hell, but to receive salvation and go to heaven, first of all, our dead spirit must be revived. How then can our spirit revive and can we receive salvation? Since the knowledge of spirit disappeared and the functions of spirit stopped to make it dead, we now have to enable the spirit to function and fill up the knowledge of spirit. In order to do that, first of all, we have to believe and accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus redeemed us from our sins by taking the cross and shedding his blood. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, God sends the Holy Spirit into us. The Holy Spirit revives the dead spirit in us, enables it to function again, and supplies us with the knowledge of Spirit. So, when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. But where in us does God give the Holy Spirit as a gift? In the head, or soul, or in the chest, or in the stomach? The Bible says, "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And does God give it in our belly? He gives the Holy Spirit in our heart. The Holy Spirit dwells in our heart. Then where is the heart? Is this the chest? No, I told you before. It's in the whole body. God gives us the Holy Spirit in our heart, so He dwells in our heart. He makes us realize about sin, righteousness, and judgment, and lets us believe the Word of God in the Bible, and helps us to obey and practice the Word of God. Once we accept the Lord and receive the Holy Spirit, we are born again. But being born again once is not the end, but we have to keep on progressing in our Christian life. Let's say you are nursing a baby, and if you just stop feeding him after some time, can the baby grow up? If you just leave after nursing a couple of times, can it grow up? He will only die. As for us too, if we just stop after being born again once, our spirit will become extinguished. The Holy Spirit will be extinguished and die. You have to grow up in your life in faith. Your spirit has to grow up. You have to grow up from flesh to spirit. You have to grow up with the Word of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. When you are born of water, which is the Word of God, you give birth to spirit. This answer is the Word of God, which is the water of life. When we hear and intake this word with faith and keep it in our heart, the untruth, evil, and darkness sown by the enemy devil will leave us. If you intake love and fill you with love, hatred in you will go away. Along with the hatred, small things like envy and jealousy will leave together. Also, things like judging and condemning belong to hatred. So, if you pull out hatred, other feelings will be pulled out together. Once the dead spirit is revived by receiving the Holy Spirit, we have to fill it with the knowledge of spirit again. It is the process of giving birth to spirit through the Holy Spirit. As we keep on giving birth to spirit after receiving the Holy Spirit, our hearts will be filled with the truth and the knowledge of spirit. At the same time, untruth in us will be removed. It is exactly the opposite process of people getting stained with flesh after the fall of Adam. Let's say there is a bag of rice. If you scoop out the rice, it will be reduced. And finally, there will be only an empty bag. Now, what you have to do to fill it is to fill it again. You can just put the rice back in. It works in the same way. Your spirit died, so you find yourself through spirit, soul, and body lectures as to how your spirit died. Now you fill yourself again with the Word of God and the blood of the Lord in faith, receiving the help of the Holy Spirit. You fill yourself back with the grace and strength of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. Because you cannot do it but with your own effort only, you have to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit by prayers. He gives you strength to cut off untruth and fill you with the truth. According to how much you filled yourself with the truth, the first, second, and the third levels of faith are divided. If you cast off all untruths and filled yourself complete with truth, with spirit, then you are a man of spirit. If you become a man of spirit, you will communicate with God clearly. If you will hear the voice and receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit clearly, you will never commit the works of the flesh or any sin. You won't do what God doesn't like. You will act according to the voice and guidance of the Holy Spirit. You will receive anything you ask for in prayer. You receive when you find, seek, and knock. Also, you will prosper in everything. You won't have any problems. And if you do have a problem, you will rather receive great blessings when you bear it and pass it through, like Daniel and his three friends. It is exactly the opposite process of people getting stained with flesh after the fall of Adam. This is the process of spirit's well-being and changing into man of spirit. 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray in that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." If it says, "Beloved," it's a word of blessing. God says it to those who are beloved. He doesn't say it to anybody. The Bible often says children. It never says daughters. It only says sons. But sons include all daughters too. I hope you will not be deceived by anybody. You listen to the words of truth and spirit. But some of you are still deceived. Sometimes some deceivers come to the church. It spreads very quickly. But why do you get deceived? You have the Word of God. For example, if they say, I am a man of God, I am loved by God, I am recognized by God, and I am a heavenly man, then you can distinguish. If God loves that person and is with him, he should be able to manifest the signs and wonders and perform God's powerful works. There must be the evidence that God is with him. The Bible tells us that there were evidences that followed Jesus and his disciples. Through these signs and wonders, they testified that the Lord was working with them and the words they spoke were true. But these people don't even manifest any signs and wonders and just to say they are loved by God. Still, you are deceived. Then they fall into the way of death together. So those who are deceived always have dark faces. They should be filled with joy and the water of life should flow from them, but they are dark. They become more darkened because they get caught up by Satan. Then they will have problems. Also, you are deceived by another matter, which is money. I always tell you a couple of times a year not to exchange money between brothers in faith. But you still exchange money and suffer. But you can't even tell others because I always emphasize it. When some believers come to you, you get deceived. You don't even have money yourself, but anyway, you give to them thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. Some people give their credit cards. Later, they find out they are left with so much debt. Why are you deceived? I tell you not to exchange money between brothers in faith, so all you have to do is just not to do it. If a brother tells you to lend him or exchange money in any way, it is to deceive you. Our Father God has told us not to do it since the opening of our church. Certainly, Satan begins to work and so many families are ruined. Many suffered from that, so some of you cannot say it out of shame. Most of them, after deceiving, leave the church. A few of them do not leave, but anyway, you should be very careful about these things in church. You come to church to have fellowship with brothers in faith, listen to the word of God, pray, praise God, receive salvation of spirit, and go to heavenly kingdom, and to save other souls. It is not a place of exchange money. Do not do businesses, deceive others, or get deceived by others, and commit the works of the flesh. You don't come to church to date somebody. If you do, what will such a big church like this be? You only talk about the things of God's kingdom, and God always tells us not just the two of you shouldn't meet. You should meet with many people and for the kingdom of God. You go to visit other members with weak faith, but you should never go alone. If the pastor is a man, he should accompany a senior deaconess who is older than him or somebody else. There are rules and orders in the church taught by God. You shouldn't violate this. Then you won't be deceived or go the wrong way. Church is not a place to find a date. Our young members shouldn't do that, or you will only fall into death together. It says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. If our spirit is well, God can always be with us. God can bless us in everything and protect us from disease and disasters so that we can have spiritual and physical health. Let me conclude the message. Loving members, today we briefly reviewed what we learned in the first part of Spirit, Soul, and Body. Man was created as living spirit, but since his spirit died and he lost knowledge of spirit, he became a man of soul and flesh. God's children now have to give birth to spirit through the Holy Spirit and recover the knowledge of spirit to become men of spirit who resemble God. John 10:35 says, "If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." If the word of God comes to a man completely, he can be like a god. It means he will be a man of spirit resembling the image of God the Almighty when Adam was first created. Then God will secure him in all things so that he will be prosperous in everything. He will also be able to show things with faith that cannot be done with human ability. Exodus 4:16 says, "And you shall be to him, namely Moses shall be to Aaron, as God." Also, Exodus 7:1 says, "So the Lord said to Moses, See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet." When Moses, who received God's word, performed God's powerful works, he looked as God before Aaron and Pharaoh. It doesn't say Moses is God, but he looks like a god. It is not only the case with Moses. It is the same with you too, only that you become a complete man of spirit. Then you will be prosperous in everything and be healthy as your spirit and soul prosper. You'll be able to accomplish everything with faith and glorify God. Finally, you'll live in the honor of the eternal heaven as God's sons and daughters. I pray in the name of the Lord that your spirit and soul will prosper and you have proper qualifications as God's children so that you can enjoy blessings as God's children both on this earth and in heaven.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated disc, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.